right. This is Michael W. Dean on the Freedom Fiends, also known as Amadub, over in the other corner. And in the other corner, weighing 120 pounds at 6'1", we've got Mr. Garrett Fox. Mr. G. Fox, how are you, sir?
Excellent. You give me way too much credit, though.
Yeah. Yep, 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 yep. So what's on your mind today, sir?
Oh, well, I mean, all kinds of stuff going on in the world today.
Pick a side. We're at war.
Well, I really would like to get into this net neutrality stuff with you.
Let's start with something fun and then get into it, because then we can make a sandwich of like horror of what the government's done to you today. So there's this comedian, Mark Maron. Have you checked him out?
Yeah, just briefly for a few minutes here. He looks like a funny guy, though.
He really is. And he's my kind of guy. He's kind of my hero because he's like a sober 50-year-old cranky guy who's a podcaster and has a bunch of cats. That's basically me.
Yeah, the clip
cats.
I watched.
My cat's yelling in the background. Did you hear him?
I did.
Fuzzy. Go
away. He knows you're talking about Mark. He thinks you're better than Mark.
He's busy, man. Go away. Yeah, why don't you put me on TV? That's what he's yelling.
Well, maybe he knows you need your Lombard support right now.
I do. I'm getting old and cranky, and lately I've had backaches. And, you know, I suffer for this art. And you could go, yeah, whatever. I'm out digging ditches. I'm out working on the oil rigs. And you're talking about sitting in your air-conditioned, drone-proof bunker suffering. But, you know, ongoing back pain is a real deal. It sounds like I'm going to segue into an ad, doesn't it? That's why I take government certified mescaline. No, I don't. But yeah, I wish there was a pill that could fix this. It can't. Feels like 1,000 evil elves are in my back poking me with pitchforks.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, it comes and goes.
Maybe you need one of those standing workstations.
There's another comedian I really like a lot. It's Louis C.K. You know him?
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he had a thing on his show recently that I really related with, because he's a 46-year-old cranky guy who he had back problem in the latest episode, and he was like went to a doctor, and the doctor said the same thing the doctor told me, like basically, you know, backs are backs. There's not much you can do about them. And then it shows him like walking out of the doctor's office hunched over, and he's sitting on the curb and can't get up to hail a cab. And this like 89-year-old woman, really sprightly old woman, like helps him into the cab. That's kind of how I feel sometimes. Like that would, yeah, like the 89-year-old woman is more sprightly than I am probably most of the time.
You need to get one of those inversion tables. Have you seen those?
I don't know. Is that where I lie on my back and use the computer?
Well, no, not exactly. It kind of looks like a seesaw that you stand on.
Yeah, it's a torture instrument. Yeah. I was thinking of getting the boots. Have you ever used the boots?
Never used the boots like Batman.
That's what I'm going to do with my last bit of Bitcoin that I traded for gift certificate on Gift for Amazon. I'll do that during the break. I'll order some inversion boots.
There you go. What, do you just hang it in a door frame or something?
Yeah, and then you hang upside down and maybe do like, you know, very gentle sit-ups while you're upside down to strengthen your back.
Yeah, see, that puts you like directly upside down, though.
I'd put a pillow under me in case it falls.
Oh, the pillow won't break your neck.
That's a good point. Yeah, I don't know. I've used them before. They feel fun. They just kind of, it's a way your back never goes and your body kind of goes, this is interesting. That's one of the things that Louis C.K.'s doctor said to him in that. It was this weird like doctor talk. I wonder if it's based on an actual conversation he had. It was, he said, oh, backs will hurt. We're about 60,000 years of evolution away from them working properly. I mean, you got to think about it. We're meant to, you know, we evolved out of things that were on all fours. So basically, nature gave us a clothesline, and we're using it as a flagpole. And I was like, whoa.
If only we could do something about that pesky gravity.
Yeah. So Mark Maron is really, really cool. Really, really cool. Hey, if you notice this thing, this is kind of interesting. On Wikipedia, and don't worry, we're going to get into how much we hate Obama pretty soon. If you think you're on the wrong show and you're like, I don't know what that is, we're going to talk about what's wrong with the government. But we just like to have something fun in front of it. The University of Oxford is offering people the ability to apply for free accounts to their paywalled, like, you know, research paper website. And they're offering it to Wikipedia editors. And I'm thinking, like, okay, this is where it's gotten to, is where, like, one of the most toned and respected educational institutions in the world has a paywalled site that used to be a paywalled library, probably, or like, you had to go to Oxford University in England to go there. They're offering free accounts to, like, Wikipedia editors with over 30,000 edits or something like that. And I think the reason they're doing it is because they're losing traction in the world of respect to Wikipedia, and they want to be cited in Wikipedia entries.
Oh wow.
What a world. What a time to be alive.
Yeah, it's a little late though, don't you think?
Well, I know that, like, Encyclopedia Britannica's publisher about 6 years ago wrote some op-ed piece about how Wikipedia is stupid and horrible and no one will ever use that, and it's not a respectable journal or not respectable research. And, like, at this point, studies that are not, you know, studies that are, they're believable. What's the word? I don't know. Peer reviewed. Studies basically say that Wikipedia is as believable overall on a note for note basis as the Encyclopedia Britannica. And, like, you know, it updates regularly. It can deal with changing events. It has lots of color pictures. There's no limit. And, like, you know, you don't have to pay $1,700 for a complete set of it.
Yeah, I remember those commercials growing up as a kid where you needed to get all your separate volumes and everything. And that is something I was just wondering. It's like, okay, so you go and spend all this money on this, you know, wall full of books, and then something changes.
I mean, yeah, I know. I was a nerd as a kid. I wanted the encyclopedia set. And you know what my parents did? They said, "You live two blocks from a great library," and they walked me down to the library that moment and got me a library card when I was like seven. And then I basically lived in the library till I went to school, and then, like, I went to college, and I flunked out of college cutting class to go to the library so I could actually learn things.
Right. Yeah. You're not going to get it sitting there in a
No, you're not.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. Teachers think they're the greatest people on earth, you know, public school teachers. Now, I believe that teaching somebody something is one of the greatest things you can do, but I really don't think that's what public school teachers do in general. And they act like you should thank them for their service every time you see them.
Oh yeah.
When really they're just union thugs, man.
To a certain extent, I think, don't you learn better on your own when you're interested in something and you need to figure something out?
Yeah, what public school was for, like, you know, having people show up at the same place at the same time for years and sit in little rows and memorize things and be told what to do and not do any critical thinking. That is like a 150-year-old model called the Prussian model, named after a country that no longer exists, Prussia. I never thought about that. Like, yeah, Prussia. That basically was designed to make compliant soldiers and factory workers. And I don't feel like that's where I feel like factory work and soldiering is pretty much done by robots now anyway. And really, they need critical thinkers to build and maintain those robots to fight each other's robots.
Well, you make it sound so exciting that way.
Yeah, I also make it sound like, well, that was the graduation speech in The Simpsons when Bart and Lisa go to military school. It was at the end, it was, and future wars will not be fought in battlefields. They will be fought by robots on mountaintops. And it will be your job to train the people who will go build and maintain those robots. Thank you, cadets. That was it.
Well, I guess they'd probably do a better job than DARPA. Have you seen their robot?
Which one is it?
That first robot that just came out, they've been all excited about. I sent you an article. I wanted to talk about this on the first, like, 3 weeks ago. So it's kind
of
old news.
The only thing DARPA ever did good was build the first three nodes of the proto-internet. And, you know, Al Gore still takes credit for the government doing that, but it was largely private.
Those were those tube-shaped things, right?
Yeah, the tubes, the series of tubes. Tubes! Wyoming is a tube-based economy.
Yeah. Could you elaborate?
Oh, it was just something I said one day shortly after we moved here 5 years ago, and we were out driving, and it seemed like every truck that drove by, like whether it's an 18-wheeler or a pickup truck, had a bunch of tubes on the back of it. Either, like, you know, giant staves for windmills, or, you know, medium sized, you know, like 2 foot diameter tubes for pumping oil through in a pipeline, or like, you know, 2 inch PVC tubes for water. It's a tube based economy, man. It's basically my way of saying people work for a living here.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That makes more sense now.
As opposed to California, where people sit at a desk and ruin their backs and say, I'm a content provider, which is basically what I do.
You're going to have to set a computer upside down so that when you're hanging from your thing, you can actually still work.
Yep. Asymmetrical information warfare. That's what we're taking part in.
Yeah.
Cats are fighting. Go on.
So have you, speaking of teaching yourself stuff, have you tried out any of that Khan Academy stuff yet?
No, but I've looked at it enough and clicked through it to think I can give it a glowing recommendation, and they are not paying mm-hmm. advertisers. They are Khan Academy, K-A-H-N Academy, yep. is a free online learning environment. It's on YouTube. Just search Khan Academy. And basically, it's lessons in a graduated way, a really sensible way, from like beginning to expert in everything you can learn, like kindergarten through probably grad school, in everything except probably, I don't know if they have law and medicine. They might have some pre-law and some pre-medicine, but, you know, math, science, history, everything, English, everything you would learn, math. I said math twice. Critical thinking, saying things twice. Yeah, they teach it all, man. It's much better than high school. And at first, like, the teachers union in America was against it. They were like, this needs to be banned. I don't know if they said that, but they were against it. And now they're embracing it and using it in schools, basically because they they don't want people to notice that they're obsolete because of it.
Yeah, that kind of defeats the purpose of the whole program. What do you need schools for when you're using this?
I mean, literally, it's like you don't need the whole school system and property tax and everything. You know, neighbors could get together and have, you know, the smartest 18-year-old kid in the school get together in the neighborhood, get together and show the group of kids how to use Khan Academy.
Not be afraid of the older kids.
And the other ones could just go out and dig holes to mine the robots from.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. Have you ever wanted to move to the land of LibPair? Libertarian paradise, where there's fun for everyone that doesn't initiate force on others, fun for the kids, parties for the adults, buy and sell in silver or Bitcoin, scenic hikes and gun shoots, speeches to educate us all. The Porcupine Freedom Festival is LibPair in the White Mountains of New Hampshire for a week this summer, June 22nd to 29th. Get your tickets now before there's no more room. Porkfest, the event of a lifetime. Porkfest.com. That's PORCFEST.com.
Purchases that you're looking at right now, huh?
Yeah, I'm ordering an inversion therapy table.
So you're going for the table then?
Yeah,
huh?
Instead of the boots. It feels like there's less of a chance of breaking my neck.
Yeah.
And it's the angle's adjustable.
You can kind of just like lean forward. As long as you can do one more sit-up, you can get out of the table.
Or you could just roll like a pill bug with your legs over your back and climb off it. Or you could just fall off it. You wouldn't fall as far, and you wouldn't land on your head either.
I can totally see it now. You're sitting there, your face is flush red, going, DJ! DJ, come help me.
Yeah. So I want to play a new ad I wrote real quick. It's an ad that I'm replacing the Meowbit ad with, not because Cody Wilson said he couldn't get Meowbit to work yesterday. Did you hear that?
I did hear that.
Yeah.
It's a noble cause, though.
He did say that, but he's on a Mac. That's why he couldn't get it to work. And I told him and everyone else, all the other movers and shakers I sent it out to, if you have any problems with this, 24/7 free tech support. Call me, write me, whatever. And he never called me or wrote me. So I don't know if he even tried it. If he did, he should have called me. Because the first version, which is probably one he tried, had problems with some people on some computers. But like 3 days later, Derek had, you know, like 3 hours later, Derek had churned out a fix and it worked. So anyway, this yeah.
What was that software called again?
Anyway, yeah, I don't think Namecoin is going to be what's going to take distributed DNS into the future. And it took me a bunch of months to realize that. And if anybody says, well, good, well, how could we ever trust you, Michael? You just spoke about that nonstop. You know, I had to really get into the team and see why the people behind it may not be the ones to take it in the future. And there's some other things coming out that do that and more. And one of them is BitShares. And we're going to be interviewing Nikolai again from BitShares tomorrow for the first hour. And with Dobby Barker is our co-host, the man who, among a lot of things that he's done that are very cool, one of the things that happened to him is kind of interesting. He got stopped by the TSA and they said, "We see Bitcoin," when he really had like some badges that said Bitcoin on them. But here's this ad I made that I'm going to be playing instead of the Meowbit ad in perpetuity on every show y'all listen to, pretty much, at least on the Liberty shows.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to
torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
Yeah.
So strange. I feel like I've been mind melded. The only thing I want to do right now is go to freedomfiends.com and learn how to download their torrents.
It tells you not to, though.
It's weird. Some weird reverse psychology thing going on here. I can't explain it.
Yeah. It is kind of a disturbing ad. It kind of makes me feel like, you know, 20 years from now, I'm going to be describing it to a therapist that's either in LibPair or government ordered, either libertarian paradise or government ordered in the concentration camp. I mean, re-education camps. and they're going to be saying, "Show me on the doll where the government touched you."
Okay. Well, it did get creepier.
Yeah.
When you sent that to me last night, I was out on the balcony in the dark and like it was real nice and quiet out there. So I'm sure everybody could hear this weird message coming from our balcony.
Yeah.
It's kind of an eerie setting for it.
I mean, what I was going for was like 1950 style CIA voice modulator.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's archaic and like, you know, nothing's like that's been used since the 60s or 70s. But if I really encrypted it the way things are encrypted now, it would be a bunch of zeros and ones and it wouldn't really do anything for you.
Kind of has that feeling from A Space Odyssey where it's like, "What are you doing, Michael?"
That's not Space Odyssey.
No, I can't think of the name of the movie. Space
Yeah, it's HAL, the IBM computer. It was, yeah. HAL is one letter off from I and B and M. That's why they called it HAL. Do you know
that? Okay.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Interesting little tidbit there.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Kevin Spacey's voice?
You're right. It is 2001, A Space Odyssey. Kevin Spacey, was it? He would have been about 8, wouldn't he?
No, I don't think so.
No, it's voiced by Douglas Rain,
okay,
who is a Canadian actor and is primarily known for providing the voice of HAL.
I'm thinking of Moon.
Moon's a great Moon. Yeah, the Moon has aspects of that,
mm-hmm,
but with cloning.
Great flick.
Yep. And the government therapist asking him, "Show me on the doll where time's travel touched you."
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone proof.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. You know, without the Star Trek communicator, we wouldn't have cell phones or computers that fit in your pocket. Because envisioning the future is the first step to real groundbreaking changes in our lifetime. That's why I love Scott Beezer's webcomic, Quantum Vibe. Quantum Vibe has allowed me to more clearly envision LibPair, or Libertarian Paradise, and help me work toward it. Who'll build the roads? You and me. Who'll draw up the blueprints? Scott Beezer in Quantum Vibe at BigHeadPress.com. That's BigHeadPress.com.
Looking for some summer fun in Wyoming? A camping weekend with liberty-minded folks for a barbecue, tubing on a river, a live band, and some quality trigger time? Then join us in Guernsey from May 29th to June 1st for the 2014 Free State Wyoming Jamboree. Founded by author Kenneth Royce, Free State Wyoming encourages free trade, political liberty, and voluntary cooperation. Come bask in the laissez-faire Western culture of the Cowboy State. Bring your family to the Free State Wyoming Jamboree. For more details, visit freestatewyoming.org.
Michael Dean, Freedom Fiends. I almost said Michael Dean After Dark. You know, this guy Jacob, somebody wrote me the other day, a fan said, because my nighttime show, I do six shows a week, plus there's one seventh that's a best of on Friday nights. I do this show Saturday and Sunday from noon to 2 Central, and then on the weeknights, Monday through Friday, 12 hours later, midnight to 2 a.m., and that's called Michael Dean After Dark, but it's getting rebranded as Freedom Fiends. It's going to be 7 days a week. It's basically the same thing now that Nima's left, because it's that Nima's left this show. I'm using all the wonderful co-hosts from my nighttime show and Garrett, who couldn't do the nighttime show because he has to get up at 4 a.m. and battle mutants to get through Baltimore to get to work.
That's a pretty legitimate analogy. Right?
And yeah, so this is turning into the nighttime show is turning into the Freedom Fiends, and it's going to be 7 days a week. But I keep messing up what I call this show. You know, like I this is Michael Dean Freedom Fiends, Michael Dean After Dark. It's all the same thing. And this guy wrote me and said, unrelated side note, your difficulty spitting out the right show name for a while on Michael Dean After Dark reminded me of how I live in perpetual terror that I will answer the phone at the public library where I now work with either the name of the adult novelty store where I used to work or the call center where I worked for almost 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, it becomes force of habit, and you've been doing the nighttime show, what, four nights a week, and then...
Yeah. I'm so glad I complained about my back today, because you mentioned this inversion table, and I really think it can't hurt, man, and it'll probably help, and it's the last of my Bitcoin money that I used on giftgyft.com to convert into money cards on Amazon to buy stuff with. And I mostly just bought stuff for my wife because I love her and she's really cool. And she never asks for anything. She's never like, you got to get me my jewelry, you know? So I got her some jewelry because she never asks, and some clothes because it was really nice to do. And she appreciated it. And I had fun. But I'm so glad that Garrett recommended that. And I'm glad we didn't get the boots, too, because you could kill yourself with the boots. You could fall and break your neck, you know.
I just can imagine all the blood rushing to your head and not being able to get back up to grab a hold of the bar and pull your feet down.
I've used them, but I was like 21. I had a friend that had one, a girlfriend that had one, and and you know, and it was always, there was always somebody around, but you know, my wife works day job, I work at home, and she works in an office, so like, I would definitely use it when no one's here. And if I hurt myself, I've fallen and I can't get up at 50, you know? Yeah.
They do take up a little space, though. I've been wanting to get one, but we just really don't have a spot to put one in our little apartment here.
We have a basement that's furnished that is basically unused, that's bigger than most apartments I've lived in.
Nice.
Wyoming is cheap, good space. I like it. You know, speaking of which, there. Let's see. I was going to cover this with Davi tomorrow. I'll just get it out of the way, because so the governor of Wyoming is moving a bunch of former Somali teenage boy, former child soldiers to Wyoming. He brought 200 of them here.
Wow! What?
Yeah, on his back, he carried them here. No. Yeah, it's a refugee program. Here's the thing. When we first moved here, we looked around Wyoming and we were like, man, this place is vast. I mean, it's the 10th biggest state, which is pretty big because it's all the states out here, all the 10 that are huge. You know, there's Alaska, of course, but like all the western states are huge. Like my county, I looked this up. My county is like 9 times the size of Rhode Island.
Yeah,
and that's like one of 20-some counties, 30 counties in the state. We were like, man, there's so much open space here. And I said, I hope the federal government never figures it out. They'll move a bunch of people here. And I guess it's happened. Our governor, Matt Mead, who Nima and I sort of helped get elected by doing a TV piece with him, where he went out shooting with us and talked about how pro gun he was, and he's not been very pro gun since he's been elected, but he signed something recently to bring a bunch of Somali refugee teenage boys, Muslim, and I'm not, this is nothing against Muslims, it's nothing against immigration. Like my problem with it is basically it's a few problems. One is, you know, they're put in public housing, so it's basically like they're moved here and put on welfare. But politicians do that stuff anyway. But I don't know. I've never seen a politician do anything out of the goodness of their heart. And I got it. And what he did, doing this really upset everyone. Many people who voted for him, because they're like, we don't like those Muslims, immigrants, you know. But it's like, I'm for immigration. I'm just not for any kind of welfare, and I'm not for any kind of like bring people halfway across the world for this. You know, like why is the government doing it? I guess basically. But Davi had an interesting prediction. Was that he said that the false flags that the feds do, where they like find, as I think it was Will Coley who said this, find the dumbest kid at the mosque and say, hey, you could be a big man, go put this bomb under that bridge, and they hand him a box of sugar, you know, and then arrest him and say they've thwarted a terrorist plot.
Sure.
They often use Somalis for that. So Davi wanted to kind of get it on record of like, do you think that that's, you know, an intentional thing, and not that the governor's doing it, but that somebody higher up is like, you know, he just wanted to say like, let's get it on record and see what happens. Cause that's the kind of thing where if it never happens, we can just forget about it. But if it does happen, we can say, hey, look, we said it. Here's a recording of it.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing tomorrow's episode, especially with your BitShares guy coming on. And then
Davi.
Yeah, Davi's great to listen to.
Yeah.
Smart and man.
So, you know, if you want a Somali paradise, move to Wyoming, I guess is what the government is saying.
Yeah.
I had to move me here, but the government's moving some, you know, like former child soldiers here. Maybe they're going to like make them part of the Obama Corps and arm them with those Glocks that I don't know. That sounds like conspiracy theory. And, you know, we wouldn't do that here. So people are probably listening, wondering, like, they're not talking about why Obama's horrible enough. You know what? This ain't that kind of show. We'll just say it. Obama's horrible. And so is every other politician ever from any party. And they all want to control you and tax you and kill you and put you in cages if you don't do what they say. And they want to scribble stuff down on paper and then send men with guns to enforce it when there's no victim in it, and they want to control everything. And their monopoly on that, or even their ability to do that, is just slipping away. Because the more they ban good things, like, you know, or things that don't have a victim, at least, like marijuana or Bitcoin or, oh, what else? You know, free speech, guns, all the stuff we like. The more they ban that, the more people are going to just realize that the government is obsolete, and it's just a gang, and it's just a mafia, and it's just the people who go around your neighborhood, city, town, and country, and the world telling people what to do, and they have no authority, and they're horrible, and they're thieves, and they're just bad people, man. They're just all bad people. What do you think?
Well, that's why it's a good thing there's all of these Bitcoin zones popping up. I'm sorry. Did I say Bitcoin zones? I meant Bitcoin ATMs.
government free zones. Well, actually, the government is trying to really. I'm really surprised they didn't try to regulate. They didn't try to out. You know, when they did that congressional hearing on Bitcoin, like they basically came away from it with a yes, Bitcoin has promise, and everybody sang the praises of the government. And here's what's really happening: they always do what they're going to do anyway. And for instance, like right now, it just came out that the federal voting tyranny registry rule guys who make up rules, whatever they're called, what are they called? They are called what? Rulemakers?
Lawmakers?
Lawmakers. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's the Federal Election Commission has approved Bitcoins for campaign contributions. Here's the thing. That's not a win.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a win. First of all, campaigns are horrible. Politicians are horrible. Voting is horrible. And it leads to, like, you know, you vote for the Republican because you're like, we got it. I got to have a Democrat in there. And then you get a Republican who, like, moves a bunch of Somali warlords next door to you and puts them on welfare. You know, politicians will always do things that you don't want them to do after you vote for them. They change their tune. You know, that guy, the governor here, ran on like school choice, and now he's like really backing Common Core in the public schools in Wyoming. They'll always do that, man. They'll always do that. He's backing, I think he's backing making gun free zones. Yeah, he's not the guy who ran, you know.
I wonder if the fact that politicians are now like accepting Bitcoin for their campaigns and everything has anything to do with them trying to centralize Bitcoin, like through, I think it's called the Bitcoin Foundation.
Yeah, they're trying to get the guys who hold the keys to it to do that, basically.
Yeah.
Although it's not really centralized, because basically, I mean, the Bitcoin Foundation is connected to Satoshi Nakamoto, who invented it. You know, he knew those guys. But so did, like, the guy who did BitShares. He was communicating, Daniel, who we're going to have on next week. He was emailing back and forth a bunch with Satoshi back in the day. So what they would have to do to change the protocol is change the wallet and get miners to adopt it, first of all, and then get users to adopt it. And pretty much that's up to the market. You know,
I mean, I've heard rumors of like licensure and stuff for small businesses who want to accept Bitcoin. They have to fill out some sort of paperwork, essentially, to be able to use that. And, you know, we know the government is so good at regulating money systems.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing about campaign contributions being able to be accepted in Bitcoin now is it's Democrats made that rule, and it's going to work better for Democrats, because Democrats will use Bitcoin and Republicans are still probably trying to mostly figure out what it is. And I'm not bashing Republicans. I was a registered Republican in not the last election, the one before it. Ron Paul. Yeah. Ron Paul. But, you know, the Republicans, I will criticize the GOP forever. I mean, because they're a political organization. All of them are bad. But I will criticize the GOP forever, because they basically ganged up on Ron Paul and not only made sure that he would never have a chance, they changed the rules to make sure no one like him would ever have a chance. So they're not about freedom, man.
Still. No. I don't think that's the case. They'd kindly step down and go find legitimate work if that were the case.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe follow the money on that Somali thing. There's a rumor, too, that they're being brought here to work in, like, meat packing factories. Cheap labor. Somebody's getting something out of it. All right. We're back with more on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the free market to buy inversion tables.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It's at the Circle Pines Center just outside Kalamazoo, Friday, August 22nd through Monday, August 25th. There will be family and grown-up friendly activities, great conversation, presentations, and bacon. Lots of bacon. It doesn't matter if you're an OG libertarian, a newbie, or just anarcho-curious. Come on out and enjoy some voluntarism. For more information, go to miplc.org.
Yes. This is Michael Dean's $30 radio school, Garrett said I should call it. Yeah, and I guess we have to say Obama's horrible. We have to say that like once every segment, or people will tune away because they'll say, I listen to talk radio because I want to hear what the president's done to me today. You know what?
Well, he didn't drone you, so you're ahead of the game.
Yeah, and you know, you ask for it if you vote, because if you vote...
you're part of the problem.
Yeah, if you do vote, you can't complain. They say if you don't vote, you can't complain. I say if you do vote, you can't complain. And I don't really say that not – I don't say not voting is – I'm not saying this is a strategy. It's not going to end government. But what's going to end government is people not believing in government, because the state, which is different than the government, the state is the belief that props the government up. That only exists because people believe in it. It's like the Wizard of Oz. You know, it's the man behind the curtain, except he's got guns pointed at you everywhere.
It's just a group of individuals working collectively for this ridiculous structure.
Yeah, they're more and more they're embedding with innocence. You know, more and more everybody is either working for the government or dependent on the government or has a close relative who works for or is dependent on the government.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, luckily they don't have a moon base where they're cloning evil presidents.
Yeah. And any politicians we criticize, you know, don't drone us. We're not picking on you. We just like flipped through our Twitter feed and you came up. We hate them all. We think they're all horrible. We laugh at all of them. We know that they all, except for Ron Paul, all politicians are sociopathic. And he was smart enough to get out, you know, and start a podcast like Marc Maron.
Yeah, and his little homeschooling thing, too.
Yep, yep. Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, somebody wrote me the other day, Miles wrote me and said, I'm thinking of voting, Michael. Like, that's an ongoing joke I had of, like, I said Ben Stone was my Liberty sponsor, like in AA, you know, like someone who's been at it longer than you have that you can call up when you, I just call them up to, like, you know, throw ideas back and forth and be friends. But we joked about it a couple years ago about it being, he's my Liberty sponsor. Like, I'm going to call him up in the middle of the night. Man, I'm thinking of voting. Talk me out of it. And Miles wrote me and said he was thinking of voting for Harry Reid when he's up for election in a few years to try to get rid of him. And, you know, what I said back was like, and there's two reasons not to participate in government or to, you know, stay out of it as much as you can. One is the moral reason. Like, basically, when you vote or when you back politics, you are backing people who they're bullies, man. They solve problems with violence or threats of violence. Everything the government does, every tax, every nanny law, it's all backed with the threat of a gun to your head. Because otherwise, without that threat of the gun to your head, government laws are just suggestions. You know, if people say, oh, taxes are voluntary, you know, if you don't pay them, they're not voluntary because they will come and take your stuff and put a gun to your head eventually if you tell them to go away long enough and don't let them in your house.
You draw an interesting parallel there with the bully analogy. Like, you know how there's always the bully in the school and he's got his little posse around him? Yeah. And there's always that one guy like jumping around all pumped up like, oh, yeah, it's going to go down now.
Yeah.
That's almost like the campaigners for the politicians.
Yeah, they are. It's really collective think. I mean, really, and like a lot of times when people are mad at someone else, like the Stop Free Kane people who are like complaining about Ian Freeman and the other good people in New Hampshire. I mean, you look at their website, it's all like, how can we find code violations and get his house taken away and turn it into a museum to the state? I mean, someone literally said that, but it's like they're literally trying to find ways to arrest this honest person because they don't.
Is that one of those face beef groups?
Yeah, yeah, it's a face beef group that's dedicated to, you know, it's people that live in New Hampshire who don't want lower taxes and more freedom. They want higher taxes and less freedom, and they're threatened by the Free State Project. You know, Stop Free Keen are a bunch of square people who. Busybodies who want to control and be controlled, and they want to use the state to do it. They're like the little kid who has the bully big brother, like, I'm gonna get my big brother to take your house. I can't do it, but he'll do it for me. Yeah, the other reason I said to Miles, like, you know, is the tactical reason. Like, you really think they're gonna let someone run against Harry Reid, who's not as much of a skunk and won't take the dump truck full of money to try to take honest working ranchers' properties and guns from good Americans? No, man. They'll put in a Republican.
Who's they?
They. The nanny people that want to take your stuff and want their big brother to do it. No, in this case, it's the Chinese who want to buy Nevada and turn it into energy farms to sell to Americans. That's not an anti-foreign thing. It's just that's what's going on with Harry Reid. It came out. It's true. Probably. I heard it on the internet. That's a good disclaimer. Yeah, it's probably, maybe.
Brink of Freedom is a community-based network and magazine whose mission is to provide you with the information you need on your walk to freedom. From homesteading and gardening to tactical and firearms, Brink of Freedom provides everything you will need to gain the knowledge to be self-sufficient. If government doesn't like it, Brink of Freedom will cover it. Come share your knowledge and gain the knowledge of industry professionals within the community. Become a premium member and gain access to unlimited content and discounts on products and services from our merchants. Use the discount code FIENDS at brinkoffreedom.net.
All right. Well, I gotta say, we tried. We called my 93-year-old Republican dad to get him on here and talk about what's wrong with Obama, because we don't like Obama, but we don't like talking about it because there's more fun things to talk about. So we're gonna call my dad, who grew up during the Depression. He's a good Tea Party guy. We were gonna get him on, and he was gonna say it like it was. But he's probably out at his with his Rotary Club or something, doing something useful for the community without taxes.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed. I was looking forward to meeting him.
Well, last time Nima and I had him on, we got a rap song out of it, remember?
Yeah.
Because he said, we asked him what he thought of Obama, and he said, "I don't like him. He's a liar, he's a socialist, and his feet stink." And we took that with his permission and looped it and made a really cool hip-hop song out of it that I can't play on radio. But if you search on YouTube for "Obama's feet stink," you will get the video that we made. It's pretty awesome, man.
I gotta watch that again.
Yes. Obama, he's a liar. He's a liar and his feet stink. He's a socialist, he's a liar, and his feet stink. And one of the people that Obama appointed, the FCC chairman Tom Wheeler, a cable industry hand-picked lobbyist, is trying to put through net neutrality. Now, net neutrality sounds good, and a lot of people who are smart computer people who should know better think it's good and push for it. And that's what they always do. They always get the people behind the horrible things the state wants to do. Now, net neutrality, they kind of have it in some countries, like in Europe. The basic idea, the way they sell it, is they say, it's basically a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. It's saying, Warner Brothers Cable could cripple Netflix going over their internets, so it doesn't work fast enough and in favor of a Warner Brothers type Netflix or something like that. And that doesn't happen. It's not a problem that happens. Basically, the only network traffic that's really squished over the internet is some cable companies will cripple using BitTorrent. And net neutrality is not going to fix that, because a lot of BitTorrent traffic is used for illegal pirating. And a lot of people who back net neutrality laws are people who if they had net neutrality laws, Comcast couldn't cripple my torrenting of the new Spider-Man movie. And it's like, man, you're delusional. That's the first thing they'll cripple. They'll eliminate that. Not necessarily Comcast, but all of them. And they do – ISPs do a lot of traffic shaping and shape-shifting. Basically –
And when you say ISP, just
internet service provider. Thank you. The people that you pay for the tube of internets that comes into your house.
they install the tube back to that little box behind your TV.
For those of you born in the Depression, during the Depression. Hey, my dad can use the internets. He forwards me things that are really important to him that he finds. No, I love him, man. I really wish we could have got him on. We'll get him on at some point. Because he's a fun change from you and I and myself and all my other weird friends. And he likes being on here. He likes the show. He likes what I do. He doesn't agree with everything. He thinks when I told him I'd stop voting, he looked like I'd told him I was gay. I mean, he sat down on the bed like we were about to go out shooting, and he sat down on the bed like, I need to steady myself.
I guess it's better you told him before you went out shooting, huh?
I don't know. I'm not afraid of my dad with a gun in his hand. He's not going to shoot me. He loves me. You sounded like a liberal there.
It was a joke.
It was a liberal joke. It was a status joke. And I'll let you do one of those.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you.
You didn't offend me. I'm teasing you. I don't like that kind of joke. I don't like jokes of, man, you better not make that guy angry. He carries a gun. You can make me angry. You could call me a name on the street and I'm not going to shoot you,
Yeah, I think, and that almost kind of goes without saying. For any new listeners that are out there, we are very safety conscious when it comes to guns. And obviously something like killing your son for telling him news that you don't like is not exactly the right image to portray there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, my dad and I, then we did go out shooting, and he did really well. It was like 30 degrees out. It was kind of raining. It was in the winter. And from a bench rest with iron sights with a 22 at 25 yards, he put about 30 out of 50 shots in the one-inch circle in the middle of the target. That's pretty good for a guy that old, man.
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't with iron sights. His gun has iron sights. My gun had a scope, and he wasn't used to it, so he had to adjust to that, which actually does make it harder. And he
scopes
had that,
can be weird if you're not used to them. Yeah,
because you try to put your eye up on them, and you're like, you get the parallax, and you really need to be a few inches away on most of them. So he had that target in his luggage when he went back home, and the TSA stole it, or somebody stole it in the airport.
Really?
Out of his luggage, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know if it was a thing of like, this is bad. We've been instructed to remove bad things, or if it was like, I'll hang this on my wall and say I did it. You know, I don't know what it was,
okay. But
what a petty thing, like a target. It's got no value. It's only sentimental. It's personal.
It's a piece of paper.
You know, it's like stealing someone's like high school diploma or something.
Yeah, I know. That is really weird. I mean, it's kind of like your trophy of the day. I always wound up picking out my favorite target by the end of a shooting session.
Well, this one was special because he and I hadn't gone shooting in 30 years.
Okay.
And so it was sentimental. And it said, you know, Jack Dean and Michael Dean, Casper, Wyoming, and the date on it. And yeah, it was kind of sad, man.
That is sad.
They stole an old man's like keepsake. The government did. Or allowed it to be stolen because, you know, they don't let anybody who's not government approved handle luggage anymore.
Yeah. Well, good thing you weren't carrying it, or good thing he wasn't carrying any Bitcoins either.
Yeah, it's Davi's thing. Davi got searched and questioned for having Bitcoins. Bitcoin, that's like saying for having emails. It's like an invisible thing. He had buttons that had Bitcoins on them. So anyway, the FCC is trying to put through Tom Wheeler, who is a cable industry lobbyist who helped Obama get elected, and he's an attorney. Everyone's an attorney in the government at that level. He's trying to pass this net neutrality thing, and like, you know, Congress can't do it because, you know, people will complain. So a lot of things now, they just go past Congress, and it's not, they don't even need to do, you know, signing statements or executive king orders like Obama and Bush and all the rest of them were fond of doing. But they're just basically trying to change the FCC rules. I don't think the FCC, if it has any reason to exist, I don't think it should have anything to do with the internet, because the reason the FCC says it exists or was formed was to allocate the very limited bandwidth of radio and then of television. There is pretty much unlimited bandwidth and like channel destinations on the internet. There's no need to regulate it. And competition would totally take care of this. You don't need more regulation. You need less, because if there was less, you know, there would be the internet service provider that would come along that would say, yeah, man, we're going to do it cheaper and better than everybody and not cripple anything. And that they'd win.
Isn't it more about speed though?
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, I guess in a way there is a limited, when the internet started, there was limited bandwidth because it all had to go over the telecoms. It all had to go over the copper wires of the telephone system. But that's all been replaced by cable now, and new technology comes out every week to get more data over smaller amounts of cable. So it's really not an issue anymore anyway. And it can be done wirelessly now too, which I guess the FCC would want to have some fingers in the pie of. But so basically, I think, and a lot of smart people think, a lot of libertarians and conservatives who really looked at this think and realize that net neutrality is just a power grab. It's just a way to try to regulate the internet more. And a lot of smart computer people, mostly liberals, say, we need net neutrality. We need to march in the streets and get net neutrality and make websites praising our overlords and masters in Congress and get them to pass net neutrality. And it's like, it's just a way to try to gank your internet and control it. And it came out recently, allegedly, I read this on the internet, it must be true, that Tom Wheeler like had some, you know, some document came out where he basically was talking to the telecoms and saying, don't worry, we'll give you passes on this, exceptions on this. So they're passing a law that isn't going to be enforced, and it's going to have a bunch of other things in it. It's just a way to get through more regulation. I mean, I really think the ideal internet to the government would be one that you don't pay for. You know, it's included in your 99% income tax. That's blazingly fast and only gets to 4 websites, and they're all owned by Obama or the government.
Well, luckily, there's this proposal going out. I don't know if you saw that part of the article where hundreds of the leading technology companies like Google and Facebook and Amazon are all writing a letter to propose that they, you know, do not move forward with all of this stuff.
Which is kind of interesting, because those are the people who basically built the internet in a lot of ways, you know, built it from what it was and understand it better than anyone, and are generally liked by those, you know, liberals who are going, we need that neutrality.
Yeah, I need to look into this proposal more too, just to see what it's all about, because I'm sure they have their own agenda to some extent as well. I mean, it's like the internet service providers. They even do this on a smaller scale in your local governments. They control which ISPs are pushing more, bandwidth, more speed towards the customers as opposed to other ones. I mean, that's a big thing over here in this part of Maryland that I'm in. I mean, you can go up to Delaware and you have speeds like 2 or 3 times as fast as just down here in Maryland.
There's one southern state, I forget what it is, it's either Kentucky or Alabama, where there is no high-speed cable internet. There's still DSL, but that's not as fast as cable. And right. And nobody can put in cable there because, like, both telecoms in that region, both internet service providers, have cut deals with local politicians to keep the other guy from doing it.
yeah, and that's why that all needs to get out of the way, so we can really free up this internet and get out of it what we can, you know, use it to its full potential.
The internet is the future.
Looks like it's here to stay.
I know. We'll be back with more of that when we get back from this trip to the free market.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and Garrett Fox, M-Dub and G Fox, G Fox. Yeah. So we're gonna finish up with net neutrality quick, because it's really boring talking about laws and governments, and they're going to do what they do anyway, whether they do it legally or illegally. It's immoral, so they're going to do it anyway. So it doesn't really matter how they do it, I think. A lot of people care, like, well, that's not in the Constitution. Constitution says they can do whatever they want. It really does. The Bill of Rights puts some limits on it, but the General Welfare Clause and basically the first page of the Constitution proper allow the government to lay and collect taxes and do things for the general good, which base, and there's no limits on it. The limits on it are the method of selection and, you know, centralized representation where representatives do your voting for you because you're not smart enough. Think about that. Like, you're smart enough to vote for them, but they don't think you're smart enough to vote directly on things. And I'm not pushing for direct democracy. That would be like 300,000 wolves and, you know, that'd be 200 million wolves and 100 million cats voting on what to have for dinner.
Put that on a bumper sticker.
It wouldn't fit. But yeah, so net neutrality, it's kind of, this is the only thing that made me like go, ah. The concept of net neutrality predates the current internet-focused debate existing since the age of the telegraph. In 1860, a U.S. federal law, the Pacific Telegraph Act, was passed to subsidize a telegraph line, stating that messages received from any individual, company, or corporation, or from telegraph lines connecting with this line at either end of its termini shall be impartially transmitted in order of their reception, excepting that the dispatches of the government shall have the priority. I didn't even read through all that before. I was going to say, before I got the government part, I'm like, yeah, do you think they, like, you know, if some senator or army guy came in and said, transmit this immediately, that they would wait? No. And wow, they didn't put it in writing.
Yeah, that's interesting, because you could almost take that back to the printing press. When certain people were allowed to have printing presses and others weren't, and it was usually government facilities that were allowed to have them.
When and where was this?
Oh, geez, I don't know. When did the printing press come out? Back in the 1700s, 1800s?
A little before that, but a useful one. Yeah, 1700s. Basically, what kept people from having printing presses back then was the cost. And that's kind of what the internet does, is decentralizes it to where everybody has a printing press that has worldwide distribution. Think about how cool that is. Think about how much governments don't like that and want to regulate it. I mean, you know, it was against the law during slavery in America to teach a slave to read, because they didn't want slaves reading. And they're kind of doing the same thing now. Like, we're all kind of soft slaves now. And
Common Core.
Common Core, man. Yeah, it's like they don't want to. Common Core is specifically designed to not allow you to learn logical thinking, and it is designed to teach you to follow orders and memorize facts. It really takes the Prussian, the broken model from the no longer existent country of Prussia, the Prussian model. It takes that and codifies it into a very streamlined system for delivering pap to the brains of children. It's child abuse. It really, you know, in a just world, people pushing Common Core would be charged with child abuse.
Yep. Yeah. It's make a bunch of little clones that only know how to fill out paperwork and
vote for a living.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's, you know, there's a thing that went around as a dad spam email about 6 years ago. And dad spam is like what I call that kind of email that has lots of exclamation points and it has the names of everyone it's been CC'd to. You know, yeah. It's people that don't really know how to use the internet, just like it stimulates their limbic system and they go, bah! You know, Obama is a secret Muslim, heartfelt letter from a dying Marine, you may die if you don't, and that's the subject line, or you may die if you, you know, the kind of stuff that's designed to take people who didn't grow up on the internet and make them go, bah! And forward it. There was one that went around a while back that was a quote from some guy, and I looked it up and it was actually misattributed, but it was an interesting quote, and it said that it boiled down basically to, it said, democracy is the greatest form of government, but historically all democracies have failed somewhere between 200 and 300 years in existence because people who don't want to work figure out that they can vote to make people work for them.
Yeah, government and net neutrality, they're boring.
They are. Let's move on. Talk about cats and pork fest. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Michael W. Dean, no relation to Howard Dean, that socialist skunk. Skunk. So Garrett, Fox, G. Fox, this is M. Doug.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo. What's the first thing you do when you get to work in the morning?
Oh, okay, you're just going to throw me right into that. Well, as a matter of fact, since you mentioned it earlier, I never get to do the nighttime shows with you during the week. So
you have to get up at 4 a.m. and drive to D.C. to go work at the White House.
Something like that.
Kidding. You don't work for the government.
Not anymore. No,
you work for the military industrial complex designing tubes, don't you?
No. Like I said, that was many moons ago. That was when we first met. But anyway, now I work for a smaller company who just basically works on schools and libraries. But that's more boring.
So
stuff.
The Common Core industrial complex.
far from it. No, this is all over the place. But I do sit at a computer for 8 hours.
So is Common Core. I'm just razzing you. So go on. What do you do when you get there at the computer, at your workstation?
Well, yeah, as you're aware, sitting on a computer for 8 hours a day gets to be pretty strenuous, so I like to listen to stuff. And it's nice having a fresh episode of now the Freedom Fiends After Dark every morning to listen to. So I get to kind of listen in all week long on what you want to talk about and then discuss it with you, you know, Friday and Saturday morning. And then we come here and we do the show and we don't talk about any of it.
Yeah, it's hard, man. It's hard doing six shows a week. And if anyone wants to donate or advertise, you could go to freedomfiends.com. That's freedom, foxtrot, echo, novembersierra.com. And there's a whole bunch of links on there. But if you don't have any money and you want to help out, this is even more important than going to our advertisers or sending a little donation once in a while or doing anything else you can do. The thing that really helps out is torrenting. You go to the Freedom Fiends site and click on the link that says torrent. You're torrenting Fiends episodes. Explain what this is and how it works, Garrett.
All right. Well, essentially, it's just basically connecting with a network of other users who are seeding the Fiends, and you make it more available, essentially. You're spreading the load across different, I guess what you would call them, nodes, maybe?
Yeah, basically you install a program called uTorrent, and right, you insert not our regular RSS feed, but we have a special torrent RSS feed on the torrent page, and it'll automatically download new episodes as they come out and share them with other people when you're not using your computer. And you can set up a scheduler in that program to, like, only use your pipe, you know, only use your tubes when you're at work or asleep, so it won't interfere with your surfing at all. And it's a great way to help keep the Fiends drone proof. We have about between 15 and 20 seeds on most of the episodes. I think the least is, like, some of the older ones have like 7 seeders, and some of them have like 20. And we have our movies up there too: Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow, which I directed, and it's narrated by Robert Downey Jr. And let's see, DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, and a couple of things Neem and I did other than that. And he did the Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom with me also. It's a good movie, which I'm going to be showing at Porkfest. So anyway, before we get into Porkfest, I'll just say, if you want to help the Fiends without spending a post-1964 dime, download the torrent program, uTorrent, from our page, the torrent link on the Freedom Fiend site, and just let it run on the background on your computer. And, you know, if you sleep in the same room with your computer and you have a desktop and it's noisy or something, you can just use an old computer you're not using and put it in the other room. I do it on a second computer. I do it on an XP laptop in the other room that's wireless. And it's really good because it'll keep us drone proof. If we have enough people torrenting this stuff and I get thrown in prison, my house gets droned, our websites get taken down by Common Core or net neutrality or some sort of demand from the government, and .bit hasn't caught on yet because it probably won't. You know, it'll still be around, man. It'll be around for perpetuity. And you think about all of the things historically that are in the common consciousness, like the Declaration of Independence and things like that, and, you know, great works of mankind. Like, a lot of them, there was only one copy of them. And if there's one copy of something, it's pretty chancy whether or not it's going to catch on in the future. But if there's 100 copies of something of every episode we did on torrents, and they're instantly shareable and can't be shut down by net neutrality, this stuff can carry on, man. And we don't do this. This stuff is more the Great American Novel. A lot of shows are like the daily newspaper, the daily fish wrap, which is important. You know, liberty needs everything. Liberty needs the daily newspaper, opening the paper and talking about what happened. And it serves a great purpose, but I really think the Freedom Fiends are going to be the one that's going to be around in 100 years. And you can help make that happen. You, the listener, by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the Torrent Club or the Torrent link up at the top and following the simple directions. So Porkfest, the Porcupine Freedom Festival in New Hampshire. You can go to porkfest.com, and you and I are going to be there. Garrett, are you excited?
I'm so pumped. This will be my 5th year in a row, and the first time I get to meet my buddy M-Dub.
Woo!
Yeah, it's going to be great hanging out with you and Ben Stone in the same meet space at one time.
Yep.
I'm sure there's going to be a microphone involved.
Well, it's if you look on the calendar, it's got both my movie showings and the Q&As after, Tuesday and Thursday night from 9 to midnight. I'm showing on Tuesday night, DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, and Thursday night, Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, and doing Q&As afterwards. And they're going to be really informal. I mean, I'll probably do some Q-ing and A-ing, questioning and answering about the movies themselves, but mainly it's going to be about how to make your own art on no money. The first one, I'm going to try to focus on audio. The second one, I'm going to try to focus on video. But if you look at the schedule, in the evenings, there's also Michael Dean After Dark, which is my nighttime show, which I don't even know if it's called Michael Dean After Dark or The Freedom Fiends yet. I guess it's called The Freedom Fiends, but it's still branded as Michael Dean After Dark. It takes a while to move things in the old world of radio. You have to, you know, insert things into satellites, basically. And that doesn't happen as quickly as updating your webpage. So that'll happen the next, probably before Porkfest. But we don't need to change the schedule on it. I like that my name's on it. I like that people will know my name and come up and shake my hand and say, I don't like what you said on your podcast on December 27th, 2011, and I want to debate you publicly about it. And I'm going to say,
why didn't you answer my email?
Yeah, why didn't you answer my email? And I'll be like, get away from me, man. I'm on vacation. Yeah, I mean, literally, this is like this is my wife and my honeymoon. We didn't get a honeymoon. And this is a bummer. I'll say it. We had a honeymoon plan when we got married in 2006 and my daughter died. So we basically spent my honeymoon going to my only child's funeral. So that's not a happy thought, but we never got a honeymoon proper, and we're considering this our honeymoon. So it's going to be pretty cool.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's pretty deep.
Yeah, that kind of led to me being a libertarian, though, because she died of cancer, leukemia, at the age of 24, and she was smoking. She was not a drug user. And that's not a parent in denial. That's she was kind of square in a good way. And a doctor told her to break the law and smoke pot to deal with the excruciating pain of leukemia and chemo. And she did. And the thought that some politician, bureaucrat, cop with a gun could have thrown my dying daughter in a cage for trying to deal with her pain in a harmless way blew my mind and made me one of the only adamant legalized marijuana advocates in the country who doesn't smoke it and doesn't want to be around people smoking it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's not exactly the favored way of coming into that world, I guess.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to make it clear, I'm not just in favor of medical legalization of it, because that involves taxation. It involves a permission slip from some government goon agency. I think people should be able to do whatever they want, and that doesn't harm anybody. And it's actually good for people. There's actually substances in marijuana that help reduce tumor growth. which is one of the reasons why it's ridiculous for people like Romney when asked, what do you think about the some guy in a wheelchair asked Romney, this is on the YouTubes, and you know, Romney's out of the loop. You could say, why are you bringing him up? Because they're all like him. Romney was asked by a guy who was really sick with cancer in a wheelchair at some event, you know, do you think, you know, he said, marijuana helps me deal with my cancer pain. Are you going to allow it to be used legally for medical use? And Romney said, no, you can use Marinol. Marinol is a big pharma pill that contains THC and nothing else. It does not shrink tumors the way that other substances do in marijuana. And it's ridiculous for some, you know, billionaire to tell some crippled guy in a wheelchair with cancer, no, you don't get your medicine. I don't have good reasons why, but other than being friends with Big Pharma, but I have declared you will not get your medicine.
Well, luckily he won't be at Porkfest.
Yeah. Marinol is really expensive too. You know, like basically like, you know, someone with cancer can smoke 25 cents worth of marijuana and feel better, or they can pay like, you know, $40 for a pill from Big Pharma that doesn't work as well.
Yeah, I think anything that's coming from the pharmaceutical industry that is getting prescribed by
Romney,
drug dealers, I mean
prescribed
doctors.
By Romney.
Yeah.
that just reminds me of Let Them Eat Cake, you know, like the little people coming up and daring to speak to the emperor wannabe. And, you know, the emperor saying, no, you don't get what you want. You get what I want. You get what you can't afford anyway. Go away.
Well, he knows what's best for that guy.
It's a politician, man. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, there actually might be a couple of politicians at Porkfest. I wouldn't be surprised. They're not
Gary Johnson likes to go, but I think he goes to pick up chicks.
Yeah, I don't remember if I saw him there last year. There was a lot of Gary Johnson supporters, for sure.
There's a lot of Gary Johnson litter. Wasn't there a lot of Gary Johnson, like, pamphlets on the...
Yeah, like, it seems like some people like to kind of dress up their campsites like it's their front yard with some political signs and whatnot. And it's kind of nice because, you know, to just keep walking.
Well, that's kind of LibPair too, Libertarian Paradise. It's like, you know, your little spot and you can do whatever you want with it. And there's no, you know, rules or regulations as long as it's not oozing onto your neighbor's campground.
Yeah. It's encouraged. Yeah. Anybody that is coming out to Porkfest for their first year, like bring your pinwheels and your streamers and your big tents with lights and stuff on them. There's a lot of power, you know, there's power on all the RV sites and everything. It does really look cool at night when you've got a whole bunch of people, you know, over by Agora Valley with all these lights flashing and speakers playing music.
Pink flamingos.
A lot of them.
Speaking of Baltimore. All right. We'll be back with the final segment of Michael Dean Before Dark, also known as the Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, this is some Squizcar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend Before Dark, the Freedom Fiends, with M-Dub and G-Fox, Garrett Fox. So Garrett Fox just sent me something funny. It was Davy Barker made a meme that is quoting me. I think I'm quoting someone else, but it says, I don't do drugs. I just think they should be legal and available in vending machines. And Davi is probably my other friend that doesn't get high. And he's got religious reasons. I'm just in recovery. I drank too much and can't do drugs anymore. And I'm coming up on 20 years sober this July. But Nima Vidati doesn't do drugs either. He was quite a marijuana imbiber when I met him. I wouldn't let him do it around me because I don't like to be around it. But I don't like being around pot, and I'm going to Porkfest. Yeah. I'm going to be going up into their private property and saying, you put that out. I don't like that. No, I'm not. And people don't take drugs at Porkfest. It's all clean living, man. It's all clean living at the big gay dance party. Right. Yeah. So this picture, though, you were asking, whose weird picture is this on the I don't do drugs, they should be legal and available in vending machines? It's Salvador Dali. And this is a pretty brilliant picture for him to use because Salvador Dali is one of the weirdest painters ever. And everybody assumed that this guy was just tripping all the time. And he did an interview in Playboy magazine one time and they asked him, so have you ever taken LSD? And he said, I don't take LSD. I am LSD.
So deep, so, man.
That's such a Dali answer, too. He was kind of a rock star as a painter. I mean, he really like lived a life of bizarreness and eccentric behavior. And yeah, he was also
definitely some beautiful paintings and artwork out there.
Yep. Yeah. I don't like the picture, the photo where he's throwing cats through the air, though. The cats look disturbed. I haven't
seen that one.
I mean, he's not torturing them, but he tossed them through the air and then had some other people toss water through the air. So it looks like cats going through water in the air. And apparently he had to do 6 takes of it to get it right. So I don't like that he threw cats through the air, but no cats were permanently harmed in that. But I would not have, as much as I love Dali, I would not have volunteered my cats for that. So, moving right along, I just wanted to clarify earlier something about my stance on immigration. I'm not against immigration. I'm against immigration forced on people for political purposes. And I'm against welfare of any kind. And basically, here's my take on immigration. I don't think that being born a certain place, geographical spot, GPS coordinate, grants you any rights or lack of rights. And I don't believe that Americans are all pure of heart because they were born here, because I've met so many of them that want to throw me in a cage for owning guns or for other people for smoking weed, or they want to tax and control your children and everything that they want to do. Those aren't good people, and there's a lot of Americans like that. So here's what I am willing to propose, a modest proposal. How about we take everybody in America that wants to control you, take your guns, take your rights, take your money, tax you. How about we take all of them and trade them with another nation for an equal number of people that want to come here and work hard?
Wow, that sounds like a pretty incredibly complicated plan there. How about?
Yeah, I'd rather let the free market take care of it. But without government incentives and welfare and nanny laws and taxes, that would just happen anyway. You know,
basic. Need more freedom incentives.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So take them.
If that's not an incentive of its own.
You know, I don't want to get geographic about it. I'm not going to say take everyone in San Francisco and ship them to Mexico and bring back from Mexico everyone that's willing to just work hard and not oppress others.
Let's just get off this planet, Michael.
Yeah. And the closest you can come to getting off this planet is the Porcupine Freedom Fest in New Hampshire in June. And you can go to porkfest.com. to get the details.
Check out the schedule too. There's so much stuff going on.
Just read. Let's spend the rest of the show reading some of the things at the schedule at the event.
Okay.
And it's Rogers Campground, June 22nd through 29th. Go to Porkfest. That's PORCFEST. It sounds like a place where you go eat pork, but there will be some pork available there. But really quickly, take us out. Read some of the things.
We got the Family Feud. There's Adult Locals, that could be interesting. Seed Saving for Dummies.
Keep going.
Two-way radio broadcasting with Ian Freeman of Free Talk Live.
Keep going.
We got a brunch fest. Okay, I'm going kind of backwards, so we're going backwards in time. There's more, a family more. Mixer potluck.
Pork fest.
There's a knitting 101. There's a hike for the kids if you're bringing them along. Yeah. And then, of course, declare your independence every morning up in the the room, all the podcasts you hear are going to be getting done live from the LRN studio up there.
Yeah. Cool, man.
Yeah. I'll be Family there. Feud. Check out Family Feud. That's what it's
fun. There's a beekeeping seminar, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'll be there with my friend G Fox at Pork Fest. Worms.
Your guest, too.
Worms.
Worms.